This time we are deep diving into the science behind the sardine run.
So it's a fascinating, for such a small fish to know, hey, I need to get together with all my mates and swim all the way back up the Durban side. It is incredible.
You're listening to The Deep Dive. I'm Vanessa Green. Each week we explore the world of South African fishing together, sharing expert advice, different ways to cast and catch, and the latest buzz from the water. Let's get into it.
We are back and the topic is the sardines, and this time we are deep diving into the science behind the sardine run. And if we are talking science, we are going to talk to a marine biologist. His name is Mike Dyer. Mike, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Oh, thanks, Vinesh. Good to be back behind a microphone talking to you guys, and let's get in with the sardines.
Absolutely. Now, you are so well respected when it comes to the science of the fish. We've watched tons of your videos. You've educated us a lot. Today we are asking you to educate us exactly about what is it about the sardine run. So let's start off with the cycle of the sardines. Where does it start? Where does it end up? Tell us about a sardine. Let's get to the basic.
So sardines, scientific name, Sardinops sajax. Not going to mean a lot to a lot of people, but it's nice to know.
Yes, always.
And I'm going to include into this little thing here, just we were going to talk about the red eyes as well.
Yes.
That there's a family called the Clupidae, which essentially are the sardines, and it also includes the red eyes there. So the red eye is like the sardine's cousin.
Oh, okay.
And where it gets the red eye name from, when they used to catch him, the eyes are very easily damaged, and that's what causes the bleeding in the eyes, and that's what you get red eye sardine.
I was always under the impression it had a lot more blood, or it was more of a premium kind of sardine.
Look, the meat contexture and things like that, there is, I'm not a fishmonger, but there is difference to the meat. There is a bit of a redder meat in a red eye, but it could be a higher blood content. But the red eye name comes from that blood that comes into the eyes. But talking about the main character, not the cousin.
Yes.
The sardines, we've got three main populations of sardines actually in South Africa. So we've got the southern, eastern, and western, essentially. Right. Western guys are up through to Namibia. The southern guys are sitting more around Cape Town area. Yeah. And then the eastern guys are the ones that come and visit us. So that eastern population sits there on the Gullis Bank, and all the adults shoot up, come along the coast, come and visit us up here, drop off their eggs, and then the eggs turn into little baby sardines. They grow up a little bit and then move all the way back down, all the way back to the Gullis Bank, down way off Cape Agulhas there. And then they grow up, and then the cycle returns.
Huh, that is awesome.
So it's a fascinating for such a small fish to know, hey, I need to get together with all my mates and swim all the way back up to Durban side. It is incredible.
Does the red eye behave in the same way?
No, the red eyes are more localized, but they will school and move around, but they don't have these massive population movements. It's mainly going to be the sardines. You do get red eyes in the mix.
Yes.
And that's mainly going to be your populations or your small groups of red eyes that are just going to join with.
Oh.
Because they see, hey, the sardines are going, looks like there's a jaw happening.
Yeah.
They
join the party.
Pile on there and they carry on with them. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so the reason why I was asking you about the red eyes and the normal sardine, I was always under the impression the red eye is more of a premium bait as opposed to a sardine. It's always more expensive than a sardine. What is the actual difference between a red eye and a normal sardine? A red eye sardine versus a normal sardine.
When it comes to the pricing, it's supply and demand. Unfortunately, that's what it comes down to. There are a lot less red eyes than there are sardines. That's why they're more expensive. In terms of actual look and quality of the bait, red eyes often firmer, but that can also come down to something we'll talk about later, which will be how the baits are looked after. Sardines are often mass netted, which then can damage the meat to make it a little bit softer. Okay. Red eyes, we know everything eats a red eye. Everything loves red eye. When they're caught on the boat, they take them, they put them straight into ice water, get them nice and cold, keep them fresh. And they're very fragile. They don't like being handled roughly and things like that. They shoot off all their scales. The guys look after red eyes more, which makes the meat and makes the actual fish itself a lot better preserved. Okay. So there are a lot of factors that come into it, but the basics of why they're so expensive is just there's less of them.
Okay, so essentially it is a sardine at the end of the day.
It's essentially a sardine.
All right.
When you break it down,
So now the phenomenon behind the sardine run and this big mass of bait balls that are coming through, do the predators just mainly chase the sardines? Because surely there's mackerel and your other bait fish, right, that swim in these shoals. What is it about the sardines that brings all these pelagics or these predators chasing the sardines as opposed to them chasing mackerel?
Look, you get, when you get big bait balls of any kind of fish, whether it's sardines, whether it's flying fish, whether it's bonito, anything like that, it's going to attract predators. The bigger the bait ball, the more predators it's going to attract. Now, the sardine shark, we've seen them kilometers long.
Yeah.
Anything in the area is going to get attracted. And you've got a lot of fish in a small area. They condense. They're rubbing off scales. They're panicking, so they release a lot of ammonia into the water. You've got oils and all sorts moving there. It's a massive buffet. Anything in the area is just coming and saying, hey, I want my sardine. Oh. Much like everyone on the coast is going, it's sardine time. I want my masala sardine. I want my fried sardine. Yeah. I want my sardine that's roasted or however you're going to eat it. The fish do exactly the same. So they're ready. They're waiting. Okay, so they're coming in there.
It's mainly because of the masses that attract it.
It's the mass.
So if there was a mass of mackerel, the sharks
would do the same. If you had the same biomass,
right. So
you're talking millions.
Okay.
Millions and millions of sardines.
So there's nothing special about the sardine that attracts there, apart from the numbers.
And they're a good source of protein. They're nice. They're oily fish. So if you had that many mackerel, it would be the same.
Okay.
I don't want to offend anybody that loves sardines. But yes, they are. It's the mass of actual animals that are coming through.
All right. Now, talking about people loving and eating their sardines, and what is it about the sardines that makes us go so crazy about it? Okay, let me just take a step back. Eating sardines, right? Yeah. Now, it essentially is, to me, a bait fish.
Yeah.
But there's lots of other bait fish, like your mozzies, like your mackerel, like your whatever other bait fish we do get, red eyes and that kind of things. See a red eye, we're not so crazy to go and eat it, but somehow people get crazy about eating a sardine. What is it about the sardines as opposed to, firstly, can we eat other bait fish?
No. So of the bait fish that I've eaten, mullet. So
really?
Surprisingly nice. Look, sea mullet.
Okay, yeah.
Surprisingly nice.
Huh.
I wouldn't choose it every time, but you can eat it. Mackerel smoked with smoked peppered mackerel. Oh,
really?
Oh, okay. It is
there that you're talking about actual mackerel bait.
Mackerel. Normally slimy mackerel, chub mackerel, whatever you want to call them. But yeah, mackerel. We can go into the foodie side of it if you want. But yeah, as long as it's kept well, mackerel is very nice to eat. But the sardine has got, I've eaten glasses as well. The glasses? Bit of flour and deep fry them.
No way.
Call them fish popcorn. It is something to try. But anyway, the often thing is that the people don't handle the bait properly. They don't think of it as eating food. So stuff just gets chucked into boxes. Stuff gets thrown onto into the freezers, just all about. Whereas when you got your sardines, you want to prep them. You're putting them nice and flat in the freezer. You're looking after them. You're making sure it's only salt water that you put on them.
Yeah.
That it doesn't make them go all mushy. You don't have them in a big box all pushed together, bottom of the net.
Oh.
So there's a lot of bait fish that you could actually eat. But the reason the sardines are so nice, and the Portuguese love sardines. It's not just South Africans. It's a culture. The Italians, the Portuguese, they're all mad about them. I think it comes down to tradition.
Right.
When I was a tiny lighty, we used to come all the way, because I was from Gauteng side. We used to come down and when the sardines ran, we used to come down just for that, come down on holiday. Okay. So it was this tradition of coming down. And I think a lot of, even people in Durban, you've got this tradition. The sardines are here. You can feel the excitement. And we all go down, we get to the beach, you get your sardines, whether you deep fry them, whether you put them in the oven, they're actually quite nice with just a little bit of olive oil. Even it's this tradition behind it that we've all grown up with and our parents had and that we've got, and I think that will be passed on. I'm hoping to our lighties that it's a special fish, but it's also a good protein.
I was just gonna ask,
omega-3, omega-6,
yes,
probably 12s.
So it does have like nutritional value,
a very good nutritional value, as I said, very good source of protein, cheap source of protein, and very good for you.
I read somewhere you could actually eat sardines every day.
100%.
And talking while we're on the topic of sardine being food, is there any difference between pilchards and sardines? Is a pilchard just a bigger sardine? Our tin fish, is that just a basic sardine?
Basically the same.
Oh.
Now, pilchards, all of your common names for fish are often very difficult, because what I call a sardine, you call a pilchard. What you call a pilchard, I call a sardine. It's depending on the area, but sardines that we get, sardine up sajaks, are pilchards.
Okay, that's the same thing, like our Lucky Star tinfish.
Same thing.
Okay. All right.
Same thing.
All right. Now we get our sardine. Sardine run is happening. We run to the beach. We load up our crate for bait. I know what you do. How would we preserve it from a proper scientific way? Whether we're going to use it for consumption to eat it or fry it or store it for our neighbor, or if we're going to keep it for bait for the rest of the season, what is the best way to preserve a sardine?
So if you've got access to something like a blast freezer, it's your best bet. So that's essentially just a freezer that's got a fan in it.
Yes.
That's what a blast freezer is. It just to get the air moving, it cools it down a lot quicker. If you don't, a bigger chest freezer is one of your best bets. And keeping, not packing a lot of sardines on top of each other. So if you can get single trays,
yes,
and you pack them on top of that and get them into a freezer as quickly as possible. Because we know it's winter at the moment, but it's still hot. It's not, it's not normal winter. So you want to get your sardines, get them nice and cool quickly from the beach.
In a cooler box or something.
You're getting there, you put your sardines into a cooler box, get it with a bit of ice in there if you can, and get it home as quickly as possible. Pack them out nicely, get them into a freezer. The best way is you make a saline, basically saltwater solution. You dip your sardine into salt water and you pack them onto the trays.
Okay.
And after a little, you leave them in there for about half an hour, take them out again, dip them in that again, put them back. Oh. And it makes almost like a crust on the outside.
Right.
That protects that inside, almost like vacuum seals it in salt water.
Okay.
It's one of the old methods the guys used to do. But your main thing is don't wash them in fresh water. It makes them go soggy. Because basically it's a form of osmoregulation, which we can get into maybe in a future podcast.
Yeah.
But anything from the sea, if you put it into fresh water, it's going to soak up water.
Right.
Saltier.
Yeah, sure.
Essentially. Wash it with salt water.
Ooh.
Get them into the freezer and cold as quick as possible. And it's the same whether you're going to, as long as you look after them, it's the same whether you're eating or whether you're using for bait.
Oh, that is awesome. Yeah, because there were so many other theories out there. Guys were saying, bring the seawater, freeze it with the sea sand on it.
Yeah.
There's so many. But
everyone's got their own personal way of doing things. But the basis of it is the quicker you can get them into a freezer, the better.
Cool. And dip them in salt water.
Salt water, yeah.
All right, perfect. Now, for the fishing question, obviously we're a fishing podcast.
Not just cooking.
not just cooking. Very interesting though. But so I have noticed, and it's a pattern that I've seen over the years, the sardines are coming out. The nets are out there. The buzz is out there. Everyone's out there. Now you got anglers with their rods. And we got a lot of anglers out there. Now, the majority of the anglers we know are fishing for sharks because the sharks are so close. There's a lot of newcomers, someone that just bought a rod, and they're trying to catch a fish, but there's just no fish. There's no shad. You'll get the odd kingfish in between. In the last couple of years, I've never seen a gerry come out while the nets are coming out.
It's been a while, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is it about when the actual netting is happening that makes fishing a little more difficult? But what I have noticed, once the nets are pulled out and the whole buzz has settled down, then somehow the fishing gets turned on. And this seems to have been a pattern. Once the sardines move out of an area, that's actually the time we actually start getting fish. Is there any reasoning behind this? Or
look, there are no rules in fishing, but generally that has been the case. Once the chaos has all moved out, and it is chaos, and if you go to any sardine netting.
Yes.
Look, there's also a lot of commotion in the water, and the fish aren't always keen on that. There's nets, there's boats, there's things happening that might push them out. The reason they come back afterwards is there's free food. Most of the sardines have been stunned, they've been knocked, they've been rolled in the waves and things like that. They can come past and they just pick up. So you often get a lot of those winter diamonds.
Yes.
Which are, that's brilliant for someone who's wanting to catch their first non-edible. That's not a gray shark.
Ooh.
Those winter diamonds are like 20 kilos, 30 kilos. And it's a nice little pool.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And in all honesty, you can catch that on a small spinning rod, surprisingly. But for the guy who's going for his first non-edible in the sardine run, that is where I would go.
Okay.
I'd wait for the sardines to move on, wait for the chaos to move a bit, go to where they netted. And if you can fish there in the afternoon into the evening a little bit, I can almost guarantee you'll catch a duck.
Wow.
It's 99%.
Yeah.
But so
essentially, they're coming and feeding off the scraps, and that's what picks up the area again.
If you're spinning for stuff like your garrick and your kingies and things like that, you have to just move the whole time. As you'll see, certain shoals will have sharks, and shoals will have game fish.
Yes.
And it's rare to get a game fish shoal, unfortunately. Yeah. Most of them have got the sharks. We do have a lot of sharks around, that, especially this time of year. But sardine run time, it's chaos. That's the best way to describe it. You're driving from, you go to Scotty's, they're netting, you're throwing there.
Yeah.
Suddenly you get a phone call, oh no, Pennington, it's happening.
Yes.
Drive down to Pennington, get there, start throwing, and it's moved on. Port Edward, down all the way. Okay, cool. Then you get a call back, oh no, 20 ledges, that's where it is. This is the old run.
Hence the run.
Hence the run. And it's one of those things that you have to be part of it.
Yes, absolutely.
Even if you're not a fisherman, go to the beach, go see what the guys are doing, what they're netting. Help pull in a net. Sometimes the guys will let you do that.
Yeah.
Obviously, safely. And just, it's this wonderful event. that you get to be a part of, and that happens brings people to our coast, and it gets me excited.
It does. I think it gets everyone excited, and that's the beauty of it. I guess that's why they call it the greatest show on earth.
100%.
It is like the greatest show on earth, which is awesome. Mike, this has been brilliant. Thank you for the insights. Thank you for enlightening us. Thank you so much for joining us on the deep dive. I know you're going to be part of this a lot more, because with your knowledge, we want to deep dive into more species and more deeper aspects of fishing. But for now, 100%. Thank you so much, and I will see you on the beach.
100%. Tight lines, guys.
That's it for this week on the deep dive. If you're after the latest catches and hotspots, don't miss the Angler News SA podcast. Until next time, let's fish for the future.